Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Presidente, thanks for getting on board with us on a Saturday morning. So glad that you guys could join us all over the United States, wherever you might be listening to us. It is Kentucky Derby Saturday, my friends. Get your mint juleps ready today. We're going to be breaking down the Kentucky Derby for you. What are your picks? Who are you picking? We want to hear from you. Also here in Indianapolis, it is the Mini Marathon. And we're already starting to see some winners cross the finish line. I tell you what a fantastic event it is. I personally would get wore out, driving 13 miles, let alone walking or running it. So my hat's off to everybody down at the Indianapolis Mini Marathon. Obviously a big sign that the Indianapolis 500 is right around the corner. And you can go to track your runner, and all the results there on 500festival.com. And I do know that there's been a few winners come across the finish line. We have a winner in the women's finish line. We'll get all that up on our social media at ProIndy. Go there, or of course, here at T-Balance as well. So to keep updated on all the results of the mini marathon. Here in Indianapolis, the largest mini marathon in the nation. Pretty cool. It just, again, another sign right around the corner is the Indianapolis 500. Well, of course, this time every week we break down all the racing action. And joining me here in just a moment will be Mr. Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk. We're going to be talking about Talladega and Kurt Busch in an IndyCar, possible. So there is some rumors going around about that. We're going to talk about that as well as Kentucky Derby, and we're going to get some picks throughout the day, and we're going to break down the Kentucky. The great thing about the Kentucky Derby is just a fun horse race to watch. And even if you don't follow horse racing, you know, the Kentucky Derby is the Kentucky Derby. And I grew up in that neck of the woods in southern Indiana, right along the Kentucky border. I got a lot of family in Kentucky. And I tell you, I love the Kentucky Derby. It's always a fun time to do. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And later on in the second half of our show, we're going to be breaking down the NBA playoffs. Of course, the Pacers shut down the Hawks yesterday here in Atlanta. And so we'll be talking about the Pacers and their playoff picture as well. So, guys, I tell you what, as always, here on The Balance, if you miss a second, you've missed a lot. So we're going to take a break, and we get right back. We'll be back with Mr. Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
It's about getting there. The Indianapolis 500, May 26th.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Obviously, it's really good to, you know, get back and run some speed and get somewhat adrenaline pumping again. Thankful for everything that Brian has done over these last 4 weeks and what he's going to do this weekend. So we appreciate that, and FedEx for, you know, sticking through it with us and obviously showing us a lot of support. So it's definitely good to be back in a car and really just starting what hopefully will be a good race, a good run in these next 17 weeks. There's no discomfort inside the car at all. Really, for me, the most discomfort I have is getting out of the car. That's why we're choosing to go through the roof versus the window. It's much easier on me. And really, any kind of twisting we can keep out of myself will be good. So, you know, really, inside the race car, I mean, I feel just like I did 6-7 weeks ago. So excited about this weekend and finally getting back going again. You know, it really hasn't been too bad. It's a lot of it is the same stuff that I was doing before. It's working on your core strength. It's working on your hamstring. You know, everything that supports the back is what we've been working on. So really, my rehab has been basically just workout sessions, not anything unordinary that you wouldn't see at a normal gym. So been working a little bit on, you know, they have like this traction machine that kind of works on your spine. I've been on that. I've been on a bone stimulator every day. So there's a lot of little gadgets and whatnot that I've been on, but it's been pretty easy. What I'm most excited about is what challenges ahead of us. I mean, we're going to have to make a big, big run these next 17 weeks if we're going to be part of the postseason. So I'm excited about the challenge. I mean, I think that our chase has got to start right now. We've got to perform each week like it is a chase race and do everything we can to get wins, because if we don't win, it really doesn't matter.
All right, that's a little bit of Denny Hamlin's presser. Talking about being able to get back in the race car, and joining us now is Mr. Kenny Barr, Radio Speed Talk, as he does, or somebody from Radio Speed Talk joins us every Saturday morning to break down all the action in both NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, and other racing series. Mr. Kenny Barr, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you this beautiful Saturday morning?
Hey, fantastic. So you're en route to Chicago?
Yeah, we're going to go up there. I got my middle son and daughter-in-law and are up there, live off of River West. You've talked to Vicky before. She's the pharmacist of the family, so we're going to go up there and get our drugs renewed and take the Cubbies and Reds game and whack my son upside the head and say hi to him a couple times. But no, we enjoy running up here. It's a fun, good time, a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you what, we talked about it on the Hot Corner earlier this week. Enjoy your Cubby games there at Wrigley Field while you can. There's a possibility that Mr. Rickers will be taking that field somewhere else.
There's a parcel of land report that they're talking about, so I think that's some serious talk they need to be making there. They need to rebuild Wrigley. Although the one question I haven't heard anybody address, and maybe it's just because I haven't heard to listen to the balance or the right show or the Hot Corner, but what kind of physical shape is Wrigley Field itself? Is the building crumbling? Does it need a lot of TLC? Is it structurally sound? You know, it's been there for an awful long time through an awful lot of nasty Chicago weather and winter, so I kind of wonder about that myself.
Well, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of improvements that need to be done on Wrigley Field, and a lot of that is just updating updating the field and bringing it up to speed, if you will. There are some parts of it. The thing is, what you don't want to touch is a baseball field that's that old. You don't want to touch the history. And they're trying to make it a landmark. They've not been successful at doing that. I'm not sure why. They do want to put up one of those big, huge scoreboards, which would block the views of the rooftop, which, the way I understand it, they have to contribute somewhere around 19% of their profits Ricketts. So, to the Cubs, to Wrigley Field there. So, I don't know. It's an ongoing debate. But we brought you on today. We could always talk baseball, and you're more than welcome to join us on the Hot Corner. But we bring you on today to talk about all of the heads and tails of what's going on in NASCAR. And you just heard a little bit of the presser that Denny Hamlin was doing out in Talladega. He's been cleared to return, and he certainly wants to get back in the race car and race again. Although I'm not quite sure, but I think that we've been told that he's going to take a knee at Talladega. So I think he's just still trying to be a little bit more cautious, so maybe we won't see him run in Sunday's Aaron's 499 at Talladega Super Speedway. But he could turn over that number 11 car to Brian Vickers without losing a lap. So I guess as far as the team goes, that'd be okay. So thoughts on Denny Hamlin returning?
Foolish. I think it's stupid. I really do. You know, a back injury when your spine is severed or almost severed, you got to be a Superman to heal that fast. As much as races are competitive and how bad you want to get in a race car, I wouldn't be in that race car until I was 100% sure personally and medically that if I took a hit in lap number two or lap number three while I'm still in that car, then I'm not going to screw myself up for life. So I think it's an absolute crazy move on a personal standpoint. But, they do what they want to do, I guess, certain things. Now, I heard he's awfully fast. Did I hear he was fastest in practice there yesterday?
He was, and I didn't see the exact time, but I do know that he had a fast car out there. I didn't see the times that he had, but he did, yes.
Well, that's interesting because I was thinking about that during the intro of the show, that if you crawled in a race car and you were very slow, couldn't you just hear the critics going crazy over that? Oh, he's in too early. He got no business in there. He's got to be here, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not surprised that he's one of the fastest cars out there. But still, I think it's absolutely nuts to do that. I did get a kick out of the fact that they got the roof hatch going. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but that roof hatch rule has been around like forever, and they've never changed it. You could always have or always wanted to have a roof hatch if you have a driver that's shaped all like me who can't get in and out of a window very well, you know. So that rule's been there forever, and I'm surprised other people haven't taken advantage of it. But a little obscure tidbit for NASCAR for you today.
Well, I'm always, you know, you got to save some stuff for Did You Know?
Oh, yeah, well, Cliff don't know, but I make some of that stuff up.
I always knew that. I knew that.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell when I start going, you know? No, we do a lot of research on the Do You Know segment. That's kind of fun to do.
Well, let's talk about, the lineup out there in today's Talladega. I guess it's the Aaron's 312 today. And Travis Pastrana, I believe, gets the pole at 176.5. And then Austin Dillon, and then Trevor Bain, and right up there at 175.87 is Danica Patrick. So let's break down today's race. Thoughts?
Same as any Talladega race. It's a big crapshoot, you know. Typical Talladega is, it's not if the big crash is going to happen, it's when. And are you going to be caught up in it? The nationwide race is just like the cup race. This is a perfect race for a middle-tier or lower-tier team to score a victory in, because it's just so many quirky things that can happen, and they're running in packs. not so much with the Nationwide cars as the Gen 6 cars and the Cup cars, but they're just – that was, oh, man, it's just a wild race. It's a great fan race. You hope there's not a lot of crashes, awful lot of bumper-to-bumper, door-to-door racing, and it's just really cool. And, you know, we talked to Joanna Long this week on Speed Talk, and she's going to be our dark horse, or at least mine. I haven't even talked to Cliff yet about who he's kind of pulling for the Nationwide show, but she's going to be our dark horse because we want her to break through and get some TV time and pick up some sponsorship for that Warsaw-based team because we really like that whole organization. But it's a great race for the fans. It's a great race for the middle-tier teams. And, you know, that's one place I haven't been to. Is Talladega. So
we'll all have to pack up the Radio Speed Talk motor coach and head out there sometime.
Well, that'll probably be a few years down the road because I don't think we've really picked which motor coach company we're going to go with this time around.
Well, I understand, absolutely. Well, hey, you know, you mentioned Rex there at Talladega, and spend a few minutes on this here. A lot of people may or may not know this, but if you like Rex, Cliff does. He loves to see a good wreck. I do too. As long as there's not fans hurt or there's not somebody seriously hurt or killed. Obviously, we don't want to see situations like Dale Earnhardt and Dan Weldon and situations that we saw with the Nationwide race earlier this year with a wreck. But a good wreck is a good wreck. And you know, Talladega. If you're one of the reasons you're a NASCAR fan. Is to watch a wreck, then what they call the big one, usually you can see almost, I won't say guarantee, but the chances are greater than on a lot of tracks, you're going to see the big one out there in Talladega. And we remember some of the really big ones, Bobby Allison in the 1987 Winston 500, Dale Earnhardt in 1996, Elliott Sadler in 2003, you know, Carl Edwards in 2009, and Tony Stewart had a pretty good wreck out there last year himself in Talladega. So a good opportunity for the fan to see the big one.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic. I don't like wrecks personally because I've been in a lot of them. You know, they hurt. I don't care what you say and how many pads you got in and how well you're strapped in with those your 5-point harness and the Hans device. By the way, did you know that since the Hans device is mandatory, there's not been a single death in NASCAR? That's the best piece of equipment they've come up with in a long time. But I've wrecked several race cars, and Tom, it hurts like hell, even when you don't hit something really super hard. And God forbid if you end up getting that crotch strap catching you a little bit hard, you'll be singing soprano for about 3 days. That hurts a lot. So, plus, I don't like fixing all them cars. It's terrible. It's great for dramatics, makes terrific television commercials. I mean, I've been mesmerized by the one where Tony Stewart rode around on the roof of Paul Menard's car, and I think that was last year, wasn't it?
I believe that was the big one out there last year, where Tony Stewart was involved in a pretty good one last year. I haven't seen the clips of it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's awfully dramatic. And there's a certain faction of race fans that go for the wrecks. I mean, promoters have been doing some hanky things since the 50s to try to get cars at least sideways or the dramatics of or push the edge of danger of and stuff. So now we're talking Talladega at 180 mile an hour with 43 cars bundled up in a big ball. So it's not just one or two guys smacking things up. It's 20. Oh, golly, it scares me to death. And you're right. As long as nobody's hurt, they got plenty of money to go fix them or they got 10 more chassis laying around or whatever the case is. If you're a Rex fan, tune into Talladega or get down there and buy a ticket down in Alabama. You'll be highly entertained, money well spent.
Right. And you know, there's just, I would say, Talladega, there's just a lot of things going on. And there's been a lot of, like, bizarre type of events that have happened there at Talladega, too. You know, just many different types of deaths, if you will, and just different things that have happened, you know, through the years out there at Talladega. And a lot of people, you know, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this theory, but it is a theory out there. A lot of people say Talladega is cursed.
Yeah, you get a racetrack that's like Talladega, and a lot of people are going to get to that point and say that. I mean, Winchester's lost, I think, 30 or 31 guys over the years and stuff. So, and that's the allure, and that's the appeal of racing, to watch men go to the edge of danger and sometimes beyond. And that gets adrenaline pumping in just about everybody, especially when you're there live. TV doesn't do racing nearly enough justice because you don't pick up on the sounds, you don't pick up on the smells, you don't get that ground-pounding, soul-shaking vibration of a funny car launching off of a starting line. You don't get the roar of 33 Indy cars coming down the front stretch, grandstands on both sides, aluminum stands, and the sound just bouncing around. There's no other noise. There's no other feel. There's no other vibration out like it on Earth. And that's the allure of things for people. So it's you got to be there in person to a certain degree. And all these racetracks, they all have the fast ones, the popular ones, they all have a certain stigma, a certain spookiness about them. I stay away from the word cursed because that's kind of spooky, but you're right. That's a very accurate description of them. Again, that's part of the allure of the danger of the thing and stuff. I hate to think anybody's going to get hurt, though.
Right, and absolutely. We would hope not. And, you know, that also brings up to another topic that we've seen here recently. It seems like more precedent here recently, and that's drivers versus drivers in what we call pit row mania, WrestleMania, but pit row media. That's been going on a lot. What are the odds we're going to see something like that this weekend in Talladega?
Oh, 100%. Somebody's going to be mad at somebody. And, you know, as long as we talked about this week on our show at the Do You Know segment, I got into digging around some of the best NASCAR fights there ever was. I found about 8 different top 10 lists, and they all had various degrees of guys doing different things. And one of them actually had Danica Patrick and Dan Weldon in it, which really kind of surprised me and stuff. Fighting has been part of racing since the first two guys decided to have a foot race in Greece, I swear. And it's just part of the whole ambiance. Some of them are little sissified slap fights. Some of them are, you know, Nelson Piquet ought to be turning in his man card after that stupid little front baby sissy ass kick that he, oops, sorry, it's a sissy kick that he fired off at Brian Scott the other day. And I think the smartest guy in the country last weekend was Brian Scott. He was mad as a hornet. He could have fired off a lot of words like I just did that you're not supposed to say on the radio. And he kept it clean all the way through. And if we get a chance to talk to him, we're trying to run him down, but he's a busy guy. I'm going to give him kudos for that because he stopped short of saying anything bad as far as, you know, the 7 dirty words you can't say on television or whatever list we have now.
It gets longer and longer each year, I think.
No kidding. Well, he did a good job of that. They're going to fight. Somebody's going to punch somebody or want to punch somebody.
Yeah, you could say certain words. It's just that if you use certain words in certain contexts, you know, or if you say anything against the Obama administration, that's to the list now. Don't say anything bad about Obama. Again, now the political talk show, we could go there, but we won't. absolutely, you know, Cliff and I last week were talking about the junk kick heard around the world. So
that was. And you know what? I did find he must have learned that from his dad got in a fight many moons ago in an F1 race, I think, over in Germany. And it wasn't his dad who was the kicker, but he was the kickee. And I forget the guy that came after him, but the guy that came after PK Sr. had the exact same style of kicking somebody in an offensive mode. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, no, that's where he learned that. That was terrible. And I don't know of anybody that kicks like that if they're serious about wounding somebody. A big sissy.
How do you really feel there, Cliff?
No, I don't know how Cliff feels.
I did it.
My God, I think my dog could kick somebody better than that.
Well, let's talk a little bit. We digress a little bit, but I do want to get back on point here with Talladega in the nationwide race today. Travis Pastrana's first pole. I mean, does it really mean that he's on his way to some nationwide stardom? I mean, how hard is it to get a pole in a restrictor plate race? A lot of people would say that just because you get a pole at Talladega or Daytona doesn't mean that you're on your way to a some huge stardom. But congratulations to Travis Pastrana on his very first pole. I'm just curious. He just seemed to appear out of nowhere, but obviously we know that the road to even race at Talladega is a long one. But I just think that we're just beginning to see this young kid make a scene on the nationwide and NASCAR circuit. So what can we talk to us about Travis Pastrana? Who is he? What's he about? And you know, what can we look for from him?
Well, Travis Pastrana, I can't say it either, Pastrana, whatever it is a hot shot that raced motorcycles and bicycles and things out of in California. Why somebody decided to put him in a race car kind of beyond me, other than I thought it was a PR move. Winning a pole at Talladega doesn't mean diddly squat. I mean, you got to start finishing races and winning a couple races and stuff. Then I'll start believing that you're a race car driver of some sort or another. But I think Michael Waltrip Racing, when they pulled him in, was more like putting President Obama in a race car. They're just doing it to get a little bit of press, a little bit of probably sponsorship money. Somebody was willing to throw down a few million dollars, let him go race and see if he could try it. And I guess if I had the facilities and somebody walked up to me with a seven-figure check and said, hey, I want Joe Bago Donuts to drive this race car for a while, would you let him do it? I'd probably figure out a way to do it. So, a pole at Talladega doesn't mean jack, you know, other than it's a feather in your cap or a little bullet point on your resume. We'll see how he races and stuff. And if he starts getting a few top tens here and there, well, then we'll get him on the radar and watch him a little bit closer.
Well, as we mentioned, Talladega fumes a lot of emotion. And we look back at Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s remarks this week. He has later kind of sort of a roundabout way apologized for those comments. But what is going through Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s mind when he makes comments like that about Talladega?
Well, I tell you what, I saw the apology, but I didn't see the comments. What did he say?
You always got to throw me a spin ball, don't you, there? I try to throw you a softball, and I'll get it. Michelle's going to work on getting it up for us, and as soon as I get the comments up, I'll let you know exactly what the comment was. But he has apologized.
Well, I apologize. I'd have it up on my screen, too, but since we're boogieing down U.S. 30, I'm doing this on the fly, so I really don't have a clue. I did read where he said something that wasn't probably kosher to the Talladega fans or the Talladega ownership or NASCAR or somebody. What's going through his head? Probably honesty, to tell you the truth. I mean, these guys got to put such a filter on themselves anymore that about the only guy that doesn't have a filter is Brad Keselowski, and he's getting away with it without getting fined so far. Everybody else has got to be politically correct and say what the pundits want them to say, as opposed to say what's really going on when the microphones are off. So he probably just spoke from the heart, to tell you the truth.
And it's something to do with the concussions. In an interview at his holler after the October race, he told some reporters who liked restrictor plate racing were bloodthirsty, in other words, that we'll not say. But,
well, yeah, he's right. He's 100% right, goofballs. And then these guys are getting their bell rung and paying the price physically in a sport that everybody's been doing it for years and years anyway, but now with all the safety features and stuff, you'd like to think that they can get away with that. But concussions are one of the few things that they can't do anything about. Because concussions are caused by the brain banging around on the inside of your skull, and I don't know what kind of hands device or halo or anything else is going to keep that from happening when you take a big shot and stuff. So they that whole concussion thing, we got lots of opinions on that at Speed Talk. And I've talked to a couple of prominent doctors here in Northeast Indiana about that. And we've come to the conclusion that NASCAR needs to do the same thing F1 does and IndyCar does as far as brain scans and stuff. But, yeah, if he said anything about concussions and bloodthirsty media people, I'm on Dale's side, and I don't even know exactly what he said, but he's right. I'm sure he spoke from the heart there.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what it was. It was about him being bloodthirsty, and he regrets, his apology was that he regrets the bloodthirsty comments at the Talladega race that he made last fall. And there's a whole article on there, and I'll email that over to you as well.
Good.
So that you've got that. Well, here we go. Today is obviously the Sprint Cup is qualifying at 12:10 here in just a little while out there in Talladega. 3 o'clock, the nationwide race tomorrow, the Sprint Cup race. It's Talladega. Kitty, I know we've talked about the wrecks and what a fan-friendly track this is, but let's dive into the actual meat of these two races. And let's talk about some of the things to be looking for in the nationwide race and the Sprint Cup race out at Talladega.
Fast, fast, and fast. Drafting, dance partner, strategy. That extra step of strategy comes in now because you got to have somebody that's willing to work with you and works well with you, because especially the Gen 6 cars, they're not completely sure that a Ford and a Ford match up. Does a Toyota and a Chevy match up better? Does the Chevy go out front and the Toyota drag better behind it and stuff? All that stuff was starting to get, they're starting to get a handle on it down in Daytona, but they haven't been in a restrictor plate track for an awful long time now. So this is still a big learning curve as far as these guys going 180, 190 mile an hour, nose to tail like that and stuff. So it's going to be curious at best. I did see where on the back of some of the Nationwide, I think it's Nationwide cars. Yeah, Nationwide cars, the back of Sam Hornish Jr.'s cars, they've got, and this is nothing new and they've tried it in the past, they've got silicone strips on the rear bumpers. So these things, when they're that close, can slide off a little bit better, a little bit easier, as opposed to not sliding off a little bit better, I guess, for the lack of a better term. So they don't upset the car quite as much. You wouldn't think that a little silicone strip no thicker than a Band-Aid would make a big difference, but as long as it slides instead of digs and frictions, you may avoid a crash that way. So there, a lot of teams are starting to do that because they're expecting bumper-to-bumper action, and it's it's going to be like driving in Chicago when you're trying to get somewhere in a great big hurry. You're going 80, 90 mile an hour, you just change lanes, and nobody's ever mad at you for doing it up here in Chicago, so it's kind of funny. It's going to be fun to watch. Again, we're going to eyeball the middle tier teams. The Cup Show, I think one of the petty cars is going to win that thing or really, really make some noise. Amarola and Ambrose, the double-A kids over there, they've had a little bit of bad luck, especially Marcus lately. He's been good on the faster tracks. You know, he did real well at Michigan last year. I think he is currently the track record holder in Michigan, and Michigan is the fastest racetrack in the country since they resurfaced the thing. So it's going to be a great race. And the only bad thing about it is I'm going to be sitting in Wrigley Field and won't be able to watch it. One of the few races I probably wouldn't sleep to.
All right, Kitty. We're talking with Kitty Barr from Radio Speed Talk. Real quickly, one more topic on the Talladega race. We look at Danica Patrick, and you know we like to make fun of her on this show every now and then, and we like to talk about her, and you know
her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
But in all reality, she does well in these restricted plate races. Obviously, she tried to build off some momentum that she had in Daytona. Talladega could be a very good track to Danica if she could just stay out of the big one.
Yep, agreed. And this is where she learned how to race. I mean, this is where she got the last 10 years of her experience or 9 years of experience in IndyCar. What you do is you smash the pedal to the floor and you drive it. And you don't ever lift up until, you know, you don't have any choice or it's pit stop time or yellow. So there's less things to worry about. You don't have to worry about braking points and angle of entry so much and how hard you brake and how hard you go into a corner and stuff. You just mash the pedal and point the steering wheel. And that's what she's done in IndyCar. And quite frankly, she did pretty well in IndyCar when you start looking at her record and stuff. I mean, when she was a rookie, she finished fourth down in Indy. She did win in Tokyo. she did an okay job driving IndyCar, so she's got that experience under her belt. So when she goes to Daytona, she goes to Talladega, mash the pedal, point the car, that's where her comfort zone is. Now, of course, she, like the other 42 competitors on the racetrack, are going to have to stay out of the big one. And how do you stay out of the big one? Who the hell knows if they'd stay out of it anyway? So with a little luck, she can come up, pull off the victory. You know, you never know. She's certainly got the car to do it, the team to do it. Tony Gibson's got a lot of confidence in her over there in the GoDaddy number 10 lime green rocket ship that she drives. So, you know, that's another one of those sidebar stories. And I'm sure, you know, NASCAR media and everybody else will be all over it like cheese on a pizza. So it'd be fun to watch.
Well, absolutely, and let's just talk hypothetically here. How huge would it be? Not that I'm saying that this will happen, but how huge would it be if Danica does get her first NASCAR win at Talladega?
Well, it'd be huge. You know, I mean, look at the we talked about some of the numbers that when she just got the pole at Daytona and that 8-day window of how much Twitter activity and social media activity she got during that 8 days, and they valued it like $2.9 million of advertising money if they really had to spend the advertising, the same exposure that she got doing that. So can you imagine the week-long buzz if she happened to win at Talladega? Oh, my gosh, GoDaddy would just be grinning from ear to ear.
Well, and we know well, we could make the jokes about the zestfully clean as well. So,
well, let's just hope that they are. Zestfully clean. We'll put it at that.
We'll just put it at that. We'll leave it at that. We're talking with Kitty, Kitty Barr from Radio Speed Talk. Kitty, real quickly on Talladega, then we got to take a break. We'll come back and talk some IndyCar. And Kurt Busch is going to be testing out there at IndyCar. We're going to be talking about that and about his possible IndyCar ride in the future, and we'll talk about that. But any type of X factors or anything that perhaps maybe you keep talking about the middle tier teams. If you could go in a little bit more detail, what are the middle tier teams in your mind? And are we going to be seeing a surprise winner tomorrow? I mean on Sunday.
Well, I hope so, because I always pull for the guys that don't have quite as much money, quite as much research and development or whatever it is that keeps them from being the usual suspects up front. You know, the non-Hendricks, the non-Rouches, the non-Gibbs, the non-Michael Waltrip Racing, those four teams I think are probably the four that are dominating the landscape now. And between them, they got, what, 12, 14 cars or something. So when you start looking at the point standings or the finishes every week, it's the same people that run that are happy with the top 15 or a top 20 kind of thing. So, you know, or even the third tier teams, the guys that were kind of starting parks that are starting to move up because they got a little bit more money, like the David Stremmys of the world or the J.J. Yaleys of the world or the Michael McDowells of the world and stuff. So you always want those guys to win a big race like Lake Speed did in Daytona in like 98 or whatever. You always hope that somebody like that pulls off a win and it helps launch their career and get some more money and stuff. So if it's not one of the top four teams, you can pretty much name them a middle-tier team unless they're a Spartan Parker.
All right, we're talking with Kitty Barr from Radio Speed Talk. We've got to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking about Kurt Busch possibly having a ride in IndyCar, and we're also going to be talking about a little bit about another race going on today, the Kentucky Derby. We'll be right back right here on The Balance on Saturday.
In this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer. Small there of your back, your jeans are playing peekaboo.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana Water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Naturally, winning Indianapolis to me is the best memory I have, you know, as far as racing goes. I always tell the story, you know, about winning, you know, that night I went to bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I probably slept for a half hour or something. I jumped up and went in the bathroom, look in the mirror, see if I wasn't dreaming. Next to having your children, I guess, probably the greatest to me.
You know, about 1939, I'm 8 years old. And we're coming home from visiting my grandfather's house and on Long Island. And we drove by Roosevelt Raceway and the Grand Prix cars, including the German Silver Arrows and everything, were over there. And I could smell the fuel and hear the sound. And I said, "Mom, Dad," and my sister, "can we go in there?" And they said, "No." So I've been trying to get even with them ever since. Yeah.
One car, two drivers, Aldo and I. So, toss the coin. He wins the toss. Actually, I was relieved, you know, because this is going to be the first one to race. And I'll tell you what, honestly, he starts last in the heat because of the way they, you know, they were doing things. And one by one, he wins the heat, $25. And in the feature, started last was 28 cars. 25 laps, honestly, wins the first race.
Really?
I could not believe it.
All right, just a little bit of teaser of what's going on here in Indianapolis. Indianapolis 500, obviously, that's a conversation between some great legends, Mario Andretti, Parnelli Jones, and others about their experiences in Victory Lane at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And what a great person to interview. I had an opportunity a couple years ago to sit down for about 10 or 15 minutes, Kenny, with Parnelli Jones. And if you ever get an opportunity to talk with a racing legend and just let them talk about their experiences, it really is something special. And I really enjoyed having the opportunity to meet him and interview him. Parnelli Jones, certainly a legend out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Those are my favorite kind of interviews, Tom. The guys that are older, more experienced, laid back, don't have to worry about PC, you know, and they just tell their stories, you know, and it's great. I mean, I had a similar experience with Dale Inman. I think we talked about 20 minutes, and we spoke the same language because of his background and my dad's background and where I was brought up in and stuff. So, yeah, you're right. Those are If you ever get a chance to either listen to those interviews or do them, which is even cooler, jump all over it because it's a terrific experience.
Absolutely, and I really enjoyed it. Well, let's talk a little bit about, a news story being wrote. Kurt Busch, you know, really we talk about and he'll test with Andretti Motorsports. Speaking of Mario, he'll test with Andretti Motorsports at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this coming up week. you know, he did some testing back in the Champ Car Series as well. And, you know, there hasn't really necessarily been a deal inked as far as, you know, Bush running a IndyCar, but he's left it open. You know, he, like I said, he tested in a Champ Car back in 2000, the Sebring back in 2003 for Bobby Rahal. So he's definitely interested in exploring possibilities of someday running the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 on the same day. Only John Andretti, Tony Stewart, and Robbie Gordon have even attempted the double, and that is a huge undertaking.
Oh, yeah. Physically, it's absolutely demanding. I mean, these guys are exhausted after they get out of an Indy car. And I know that those three that you talked about, Gordon and Andretti and Stewart, Stewart's the only one had any kind of success at all. And they take a bag or two of saline in the helicopter when they're flying from Indy to Charlotte. So they're getting rehydrated on the way over and stuff. And that's tough. It's 1,100 miles at speed in two different cars that handle completely different. More power to him. If he can get it done, go do it. And, you know, I'm not a big Kurt Busch fan, but if he can do that, we'll watch it. It'd be fun. You know, they are two different animals. It'll take an awful lot of testing. I was reading up about this one a little bit because I figured we'd go there today. And there's a big learning curve there. Obviously, how many people have we seen come from IndyCar to go to NASCAR that couldn't do diddly squat with it? He's going the other way around, and he's going to have the same challenges in reverse as the Dario Franchini's and the Patrick Carpentier and those kind of guys who never could make a NASCAR car go around. So they're lighter, they're faster, much more aero-dependent and stuff. And it'll be interesting. I hope he tries it. I hope he has some success. He's certainly with the top-tier team with Andretti, so it's not like he's doing the one-off or the guys that, again, don't have quite as much money to spend and burn up. So if he's going to do it, that's a group to do it with, one of them. And, yeah, it'd be interesting. We'll watch that one.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, you look at the Bush, well, both of them for that matter, but let's just hope that they don't wreck IndyCars the way they do NASCARs.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I was going to go there and decided not to, but, yeah, I hope Andretti got a lot of money because Kurt Busch tore up every car they had in the stable last year, so, man, oh, man. Yeah, that could be an expensive boo-boo, couldn't it?
Well, they're slightly more expensive than NASCAR. Not quite as expensive as a Formula One car, but certainly you gotta look at that. That's you know, one of the things that they're looking at. Well, you know, I wish you the best of luck, and of course that's obviously not going to happen this year. But he's left the door open, and he's got great relationships with Andretti and the Ray Hall. So we'll see. Maybe we will see it happen, and maybe sometime in our lifetime. You would think that just because things just seem to happen, in the law of law, odds are if enough people try it, somebody will win both races. But wow, that would be an awesome undertaking if somebody could win both races on the same day. You talk about making racing history, that's for sure. Well, the IndyCar guys are out in Brazil. And then I say, Kenny, they're here in Indianapolis and very, very soon. So Willpower obviously taking a very fast lap in practice out there in Brazil. He drives the number 12 Verizon Team Penske car. You know, I was just in Meyer yesterday, and I saw it there. I don't know how he got it from Brazil to there right after practice so quickly. But,
but amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing how they do that. It's amazing how they do that. Actually, they need to get these show cars up to date because they are the old style, the old body style. They're not the new DW12 show cars. At least the one at Meyer was it yesterday. So Willpower, obviously, started in his 2013 run in Brazil the same way he began it last year. We look at Willpower in what he's been able to do, and then right behind him as well is Franchitti was fourth in the number 10 Honda and Panther Racing. I think it's time for Willpower to have success out there in Brazil. And also we look at Rahal and what's going on with that team, and they should have pretty good success in Brazil. So if we look at the Brazil race, what are your thoughts about what's happening out there in Sao Paulo.
Power just needs to shake off the bad luck and the demons. You know, how many times has he been the bridesmaid in the whole series now? Two or three times in a row. He has good races, and then he had bad races. Inconsistencies kind of bit him a little bit. But these guys will get it figured out, because look at, what is it, a month ago we were talking about Dario and how El Stinko he's been, and they turned around and wins the race. And they turn it around in a great big hurry. So these guys that are the engineers and the drivers in these teams are no dummies. They really understand what's going on and stuff. Starting position is just about everything in most races, actually, but even more so when you're talking about these road courses, because the opportunities to pass just aren't there that often. It's difficult to do, and then you got the button you hit to what's the proper term when you're overseas, to overtake somebody as opposed to pass them? They use them for defensive purposes, too, so I don't know where the advantages of that stuff. So qualify well. Use your tire strategy smart. Make sure you're on top of the weather as far as using your reds and your blacks. I hope you don't get caught backwards in the yellow, but that's typical racing, you know. You pit, and then the lap later, here comes the yellow flag. You just missed it by a little bit, and you lose 20 spots through no fault of your own, just bad luck racing. The IndyCar guy, I admire all those IndyCar guys, and I hesitate to use second-tier teams when it comes to IndyCars because, man, there's not a knucklehead in the bunch. There's not a starting Parker. There's not a guys that are running a circuit just once in a great while, although the Indy, I think they do one off just because of the huge prestigiousness of the race. I mean, there's nothing like Indianapolis. I don't care what anybody says. I've been to the Speedway several times, and it's like walking into Wrigley Field, mm-hmm. on the field, if you're a big baseball fan. It's like walking into the Madison Square Garden during the NBA playoffs. It's just, there's an aura that hits you when you walk in and you just go, this is cool. It can basically be empty, and it's cool. So the Indianapolis 500 in and of itself is just super, super neat. And I just look at some of these races before the series racing. It's tune-ups and warm-ups, you know.
Isn't that how your partner in crime, Cliff Tanner, acts when he walks into Victoria's Secrets?
Why do you have to go there, you crazy nut? Jeez. I'm going to go with Cliff at Victoria's Secrets, and I ain't never going with Cliff to Victoria's Secrets.
I have to give him a hard time. He sent me a text that he was listening to it, so I had to, you know, throw something out there his way. Well, we look at Brazil and three Brazilian drivers out there. Could we see a Brazilian get a win out there? You look at Ana Beatriz, Julio Castroneves, and TK. Speaking of great wins, wouldn't it be great to see TK finally get a win in Indianapolis? But anyway, do you think? What are your thoughts about the actual Brazilians running in Brazil in front of their home country, if you will?
Well, it probably gives them a little extra incentive, a little extra adrenaline to do well. I mean, who doesn't want to do good in front of your hometown? You know, Tony Kanaan, he's a guy that we kind of pull for. Too. He's a great guy, and he just hasn't had a whole heck of a lot of luck. He lost a ride, with Andretti and stuff just because of money. Hooked up with another team and has elevated that team to a point where I think they're contenders just about every time they hit the racetrack. So the gal probably doesn't have a shot, although she's tough on road courses. And Helio, he's always good. So any one of those three guys could win down there and race in front of the home crowd. It's just like playing basketball at home or baseball at home. You have that little extra advantage and a little bit of extra desire to do well in front of all your family and friends, so you don't stink up the show, so to speak. When you start handicapping races and stuff and guessing who's going to do well here and there, you got to give those guys a couple extra bonus points just because they're on their home field, so to speak.
Well, absolutely, and you know. Anna Fitzgerald will have another female counterpart. As we heard earlier this week, Pippa Mann confirms that she'll be in the Indy 500 this year with DCR Racing, obviously with teammate as well as Justin Wilson. So DCR really starting to make a mark, and I think that when you look at DCR and other teams, but you look at those mid-category teams that you were talking about, if any of those mid-category teams like DCR, for example, are the teams to look for in Indianapolis 500 this year, it would be that. And I really like Justin Wilson. I think he has a tremendous opportunity to do very well this year at the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, Justin Wilson is one of those up-and-coming drivers that if he could just catch a break here and there, I think it'd be really great. I picked him to win a race a couple of years ago, and we did predictions on Speed Talk, and he wasn't even there. You know, so that's how much confidence I had in him at the time. Doing well, he did that. It was over to Japan, and he didn't go or some crazy thing. So, yeah, I'd like to see the Justin Wilson. Besides, that's an all-American name. We don't have to learn how to say Castro Nevis or some of them other crazy names that come over here. I joke a lot about and stuff because they're foreign cars. I don't really have a problem with foreign drivers, except I still bleed red, white, and blue, and I'd like to see an American win an American-based race.
Well, we're about out of time with you today, and I do want to talk about another race, and it's definitely an American-based race. Although you still have a lot of Brazilians running it, but that's neither here nor there. And that's, well... Kenny, can you join in now in my old Kentucky home?
No.
Oh,
no,
come on.
I can't. You got to. I don't sing, brother. Come on.
Well, it's
I don't
Derby.
Even know the words.
I don't think anybody really knows the words. It's Derby weekend. Kentucky Derby weekend, my friend, and I want to get your picks in just a moment here, but I do want to do our official Kentucky Derby preview as well. We'll do the preview, and then we'll get your picks right after this.
I don't know anything about horse racing, but I like names and numbers and losing people money. Verrazano's the early favorite at 7-2, and also Bridge to Staten Island. So winning imagery? Nope. Next up, Normandy Invasion at 20-1. I love the iconic and heroic imagery, World War II, but connecting horses and guns at a horse race? Can't do it. And at 30-1, Golden Sense. I have really bad eyes and read this a little bit differently as something you're supposed to never say to a lady. I'll let you figure out the word. Things to do to make the Kentucky Derby even more fun. Number one, drink a mint julep. Though I'm not totally sold on the term julep. Julep. Number two, wear a straw hat. It's the only day you get to, and honestly, come on, it's a straw hat. Number three, don't sing My Old Kentucky Home. You don't know the words, it's really boring, and hey, you're not from Kentucky, so hooray. And number four, laugh at the unnecessary and dumb reporter on NBC that's riding on horseback while interviewing jockeys. Because it's a reporter on a horse. You must go out of your way to watch a very own Matt Ufford's feature, both written and video, on the Trufant family after Desmond Trufant is the latest brother to get drafted into the NFL of the three brothers in that family by the Atlanta Falcons. I have two brothers, and the best thing the three of us do, we eat tacos. I mean, it's fun. And finally, here is a dancing tiny little dog on two hind legs, because look at it.
All right, our official 2013 Kentucky Derby preview always brings you the very best in Kentucky Derby preview. So now you've heard our preview, Kenny Barr, it is a race. And it's an American race. It might have a Brazilian jockey.
That's okay.
What are your thoughts on this year's Kentucky Derby? Any favorites? You're going to get yourself a mint julep over there at Wrigley Field to go along with your Wrigley dog.
I ain't drinking no mint julep. Good God, I don't even know what's in one of those things. Isn't that one of them umbrella drinks that many women drink on Kentucky Derby Day.
It is.
I don't know. I'm not much of a drinker anymore.
It's the official drink of the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, well, good for them. They probably sell an awful lot of them, make a lot of money when they do it. Here, I looked at the names of some of the entrants, and I've decided that regardless of the odds, I'm pulling for either one of the horses that actually named after a kitten. I think one of them's called Fear the Kitten, and the other one's, I don't know, Kitten
Cuddly
Paws
Kitten.
Or something.
I think it's
Cuddly Kitten.
We talked about that on the Hot Corner on Thursday. So, myself and Ed Kratz. Cuddly Kitten. I gotta go with that because it also is the name of a stripper, you know. But no.
I hope you enjoy your Saturday night this weekend, Tom.
What's that?
I hope you enjoy your Saturday night this weekend.
Yeah, a little inside joke there. Thank you. Thank you very much Kenny. That's funny. That's funny. Well, Rick Pitino has a horse who also coached the Louisville Cardinals National Championship, has a horse in the Kentucky Derby. So I think I can't remember the name of his horse. That's just how it is. We don't do a lot of it.
We don't
do a lot of show prep for the Kentucky Derby, but it's always interesting to see, and obviously I'll be watching it, and we'll put it out on the social media. No X factors, nothing to break down or inside the Kentucky Derby that comes to mind or anything like that.
Yeah, one thing. A friend of mine bets on the ponies and the dogs both. At times, and he's done it off and on over the years. Nothing, you know, huge or anything. But the strategy that he has, you don't look at all the books, you don't look at the breeders' guides, he doesn't look at the names. Excuse me, don't look at the jockey victories or the ownership. What he uses to bet on the animal races, is he watches them go to the post, and whichever dog or horse relieves themselves just before they go into the post. That's the one he runs to the window and bets on.
Well, I can see why that, because they don't have anything holding them back.
Yeah, you feel a little bit better, you know. That makes sense to me, and he said he's won more money that way than any other crazy way they've tried to come up with it.
Well, post time today is 6:24 p.m., obviously on NBC, 1 1/4 miles, the greatest horse racing event in the world. Obviously, the Super Bowl of horse racing, the Indianapolis 500 of horse racing, so the World Series of horse racing. So it is the big kahuna, if you will, $2,199,800 is the purse. So you put that in perspective, a jockey gets a certain percentage of that. I think it's somewhere around 25% or 30% for a jockey I think that's what it is. I will have to double check on that. But I know it's a pretty good chunk for a Kentucky Derby jockey to win that. And some of the favorites today, Veronzo. 4-1 odds as well. Golden Scent, 5-1 odds, or 7-2 odds, and it's My Lucky Lady with 15-1 odds. So if you're looking for the dark horse, if you will, if we could, yeah, no pun intended, Fear the Kitten might be a good one. But I think they did scratch Fear the Kitten. So come to think about it, I think
Fear the Kitten.
I think it was Cat Scratch Fever or something going on there, man.
Probably is, man. That's no fun. Yeah, that's half the reason I was going to watch the race to see if the kitten horses did okay. What kind of odds are the other kittens there, the cuddly kitten? Maybe about a 50-1 or something?
I don't see it. It must be out there because I don't see it. So if they happen to win, you know, if the kitten wins, if Cuddly Kitten wins, then they'll be on target for that. Well, we've been talking with Kenny Barr, Radio Speed Talk, headed up to Chicago. Any final thoughts? What's going on Radio Speed Talk this week? Any great pearls of wisdom you want to share with us before we part today?
Oh, I don't know about any pearls of wisdom. It's kind of an interesting show. We got Joanna Long gave us a call. talked to her quite a while. I found out she's not even 21 yet, which kind of surprised us. And she actually has a bucket list, which I gave her the devil on. I put on my dad hat and said, you're way too young to be having a bucket list. So you need to tune in just if for no other reason is to listen to that, Joanna's comments and stuff. Cliff is a great interviewer. He seems to go places that I never would think to go. So we let him do an awful lot of questioning, and then we chime in when we find something interesting or funny to throw in there. So you need to tune in for that. Break down a couple of races, talk about some local stuff. Do you know we talk about what I decided was my top 10 favorite racing fights of all time, and it was a good show. We had fun putting it together this week, and I'm sure that the fans will find it the normal level of interesting, maybe another notch or two above that.
The normal level of interesting, maybe a notch or two above that. Charming Kittens is 29-1 odds. That is going to be my official pick because of the kitten, and it's the only kitten left. So my official pick is the underdog, if you will, or underhorse, if you will. Charming Kitten at 29-1 odds. That is my official pick. So Kenny, if you want to go along with me on the kitten theme, we'll split the win play show winnings and go with it that way. I'll buy you a root beer.
There you go. The diet root beer, and we're in like Flynn.
We'll ride the kitten. Charming Kitten is our official pick here on the balance. You know what? Hey, we've got a pretty scientific theory on picking our horse. So I would say that we've done better than anybody else out there on any radio show and on any sort of media. We have it nailed down.
We'll see.
Charming Kitten for the win. I'll tell you what. We'll even give ourselves a little bit more of a space there, if you will. Charming Kitten to win, place, or show. So it'll be in one of those three top three spots. Win, place, or show. We get credit right here on the balance. We'll talk about that next week. We'll tweet it out how Charming Kitten did. Even if she comes in last, we'll make sure that. We get that breaking news out to you. Kenny Barr, we always appreciate you joining us, and we're really excited about getting geared up with Indy in May. And we're going to be bringing track reports brought to you also by Radio Speed Talk and other sponsors. And you guys are going to be very interactive with us here in Indianapolis. And we look forward to you guys coming up here. And hopefully we can work out a time and a location to be announced later on. But hopefully as we get close to the Indianapolis 500, we'll be able to do a show right here in Indianapolis, all of us together. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be in Indy the 18th, which probably isn't an ideal date, but we got a Top Speed Fabrication Modified show down at Lucas Oil on the 18th. Maybe we can work out something that day, or we're talking about maybe sneaking down the 25th, but we're going to be on a real tight time constraint that day. So, yeah, it'd be fun to get together and do a live one and see what kind of trouble we can get ourselves into.
Absolutely. Well, your people can talk to my people, and we'll make it happen if it's at all possible. Mr. Kenny Barr, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on the internet, or find your wanted posters, anything like that?
Well, I need any post office in the state of Indiana. I'm sure my picture and the numbers hang on there somewhere and stuff. RadioSpeedTalk.com. You go to the staff, and you can find my picture, and heck, my cell phone number's on there if you want to call me up and tell me how crazy I really am. I'm on Twitter at KennyBar52, and I keep threatening to get on Facebook, but just haven't got around to doing it yet.
Well, we would love to have you on Facebook with us. I mean, usually it's the other way around. People are on Facebook, they just don't want to get on Twitter. So whenever you're on Facebook, let us know, and we'll make sure that we friend you. Kenny Barr, Radio Speed Talk. Kenny, enjoy your day out there in Chicago.
You have a great weekend, too, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk. Always good to have him on board.
Just keep on riding.
Always good to have him on board with us. I don't know where that came from. I think I have the Talladega curse on my soundboard today. Well, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the NBA, breakdown of the NBA playoffs. Gene Walker's going to be joining us later on in the hour. And we're also going to be talking a little bit more about some baseball and IndyCar. And really, it's going to be kind of an open mic here, open mic forum in the next hour, guys. So jump in. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about right here on The Balance. 917-889-8516 is my digits. We'll be right back.
We are one Boston. No adversity, no challenge, nothing can tear down the resilience of the heart of the city and its people. Nothing can defeat the heart of the city. Nothing. Nothing will take us down because we take care of one another.
This is our city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom.
Love and the strength covers our city. It will push us forward because this is Boston, a city with courage, compassion, strength that knows no bounds.
Following the tragedy at the 2013 Boston Marathon, there was one Boston. Donate to the One Fund at oneboston.org. That's the One Fund at onefundboston.org.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
Jackie Robinson, a black man in white baseball.
I want you to know I'm there for you.
In my heart.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
Your enemy will be out in force, but you cannot meet him on his own low ground.
What you going to do if one of these pitchers throws through your head?
I'll duck.
Mark my words and circle this date. Negroes are going to run the white man straight out of baseball.
This ain't the America I know. You hear me?
If they knew you, they would be ashamed.
If Robinson can help us win, then he is going to play on this ball club.
You don't belong here, and you never will.
Get off the field.
Brooklyn Dodgers ain't changing our way of living.
Where are we now?
You are not the only one with something at stake here.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Give me a uniform. Give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
I father, I Brooklyn Dodger them. I Jack, I Rob, I Sin, oh man, I'm Jackie Robinson, except when I run base, I dodge the pen.
I'm just a ball player.
You a hero.
Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game.
I'm not going anywhere! I'm right here!
I'm a Brooklyn boy, I may take some getting used to.
Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42.
It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
If it happens.
happens in baseball, he talks about it.
Red Sox or Phillies, which team has the best racist fans in baseball?
Well, maybe not that.
Game over, bitches.
Back to The Balance Online with host Tom Marquis.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
낮에는 따뜻한 인간적인. All right, my minions, welcome back to the second hour of The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. So good to have Kitty Barr from Radio Speed Talk joining us. Breaking down all the action that's going to be happening out at Talladega this weekend. Of course, I'll talk a little bit about IndyCar. And we're getting excited and geared up here in Indianapolis for the IndyCar race. And again, going on here in Indianapolis right now is the 500 Festival underway. The mini marathon is underway and probably coming close to an end now. And we'll get to those results. Now, if you guys are going downtown and you guys are going to be going to some of the post-race parties out at Military Park, if you're here in the Indianapolis area, one thing that you guys want to be sure of, they in lieu of the recent Boston events, they've really stepped up security. So they're asking that whether you're a fan or a participant to not bring or wear backpacks or duffel bags into the One American Mini 500 Festival area. So whether that be the post party or whatever, and really any backpack or duffel bag will not be accepted. So if you're going down there with a backpack or duffel bag, we'll get that up on our social media as well. Also, additional security measures have been added along the course as well as the post-race events there at Military Park. So just make sure that you guys allow yourself plenty of time to get through security and realize that they're doing that for your own good, your own safety, and especially with all the things that have gone on recently, we want to keep everybody safe out there. The 500 Festival! It's just one of the things that are going on here in Indianapolis. And the Indianapolis, we gear up for the Indianapolis 500. We do a whole month of stuff. Now, granted, the 500 Festival is not associated with IMS per se, but they do work together, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, another big event coming up, and we'll be covering a lot of it here with Indy Pro Sports. And what I really, really want to for you guys to take some time to go to IndyAndMay.com. Everything that has to do with Indy and the Indy 500 will be right there as far as information about different events that are going on, the parades, all the different things. And as we get into our track reports, which we'll be doing, and we're teaming up with Radio Speed Talk to do, and we'll be on various different affiliate stations, as well as right here on Indiana Talks. And a little programming note on Indiana Talks, we will be on every Saturday morning from Saturday afternoon, I'm sorry, from 3 to 5. So you guys no longer get to hear us live. But if you do want to hear us live, you can go over to Blog Talk Radio and check us out online, www.thebalanceonline.com. IndyProSports.com or IndyMA.com, and all the links are there, or like us on Facebook, The Balance or Indy Pro Sports. All the links are right there to listen to us live. We do this every Saturday morning. We call this The Balance because we give you a full balance of sports, and we break everything down from, as we talked about today, various different types of racing, horse racing, and so forth. We have a lot of fun with the guys from over at Radio Speed Talk. And we're going to be breaking down the NBA playoffs, some MLB action here as well today. And Mr. Gene Walker is going to be joining us in a little while here and be talking about the NBA playoffs as well. If you guys have not had an opportunity to listen to the Hot Corner on Thursday nights, well, you need to do that. This week, and follow us on Twitter at 2HotCorner, especially if you're a baseball fan, because this is a show dedicated specifically to baseball, and we break down all the games and all that's going on in the particular series. This past week, we spent a lot of time talking about the National League with Ed Kratz from Calkins Media, talking about the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Cubs. So if you're a National League fan, we got something for you. If you're an American League fan, we got something for you. That's the Hot Corner right here on the Balance Radio Network, and we do it live from 5 to 6 right here on the Balance. 6 to 7, I'm sorry, on the Balanced Radio Network. We do it live, and then on Indiana Talks, we're on at 9 o'clock. So I believe it's 9 to 10. But check your websites there to do that. We have so many affiliates, it's hard for me to keep up on all of the times. Well, we'll talk a little bit about the National League, and let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals and the Brewers today at 4:05. I love the Cardinals. So, you know, it's nothing new. So we're always going to lead off with the Cardinals when we're talking baseball, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Adam Wainwright has had plenty of success against the Brewers. Colorado hasn't been able to figure out why the Cardinals give him so much trouble. And I like this matchup between the Brewers. We already took game one, 6-5. We go, it's a battle again today. The St. Louis seeks its fifth straight win today while sending host Milwaukee to a fourth consecutive defeat. Mr. Wainwright has gotten off to a solid start, striking out 43 while only walking 44 in 1 3 innings. He pitched well Monday night, but had his four-start winning streak come to an end, obviously to our loss to Cincinnati. When I say our, I definitely mean the Cardinals. So, you know, we talk a lot of baseball on the Hot Corner, so we want to make sure that you guys get to that game. Also, other games going on today. Pittsburgh hosting the Washington Nationals. Washington coming in at 15-15. And we were talking about the National League East. Washington Nationals is right there. You got Atlanta, Washington, and then Philadelphia. And then you have Pittsburgh Pirates coming at 17-12. These Pirates do this to us every year. We really like the Pirates. We follow the Pirates a lot, especially through our AAA affiliate that they have here in Indianapolis. And the Indianapolis Indians, obviously the Indianapolis Indians is doing a fantastic run, as they do every year. And I hope that the success with the Pirates really keep up. Washington Nationals have been you might want to use the word protective over Steven Strasburg since he entered the majors. Even the potential of an injury creates a stir. So after the concern was talked about this week, Strasburg seeks to end his five-start winless streak as Washington looks to avoid a third straight loss to the Pittsburgh Pirate, who is obviously hosting them today. So we'll see what goes on with the Pirates. And, you know, I like the Pirates. They've got a good, solid team. They're Jeff Locke, a great pitcher, goes up against Steven Strasburg today. And Locke, with three wins to his credit and one loss. And you look at that is a pretty good average as well. So we look at some of those teams, and by the way, guys, catch you up on some scores. We talked about a little bit about the Cubs and the Reds earlier. The Reds beat the Cubs 6-1 in yesterday's action, and Pittsburgh took that game against Washington at 3-1. Philadelphia, well, you gotta pencil in a win whenever you play the Florida Marlins, the worst team in baseball right now. And, you know, that's kind of sad because they got the brand new stadium out there and, you know, a lot that they've done to really try to, you know, boost up attendance and boost up the various different things going on down there in Miami. But they just can't get any wings, if you will, to win any game. So Philadelphia takes that pretty easily, 4-1. Oakland over the Yankees, 2-0. The Indians over the Twins, 7-6. Seattle, Toronto. Seattle has no problems at all against the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'm a little disappointed in the Blue Jays this year. They really have not performed up to their capability and their ability, especially with what they've got going on in the mound. And over there in Atlanta, the Mets take down Atlanta, 7-5. The Rangers over the Boston Red Sox, 7-0. And you look at the Boston Red Sox, I don't know if they're just playing a lot on emotion. Maybe they are with a lot that's going on. just really kind of turned a lot of things around. And even though they had a loss yesterday to the Rangers, the Boston Red Sox are doing some good things. So if you're a Red Sox fan, it's a good time to be watching them because they are starting to put together some winning streaks as well. We just talked a little bit about the St. Louis-Milwaukee game. Obviously, St. Louis took the Milwaukee game, game one there, 6-1. Now, the Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royal game was postponed. So then we look over Detroit over Houston, Tampa Bay over the Colorado Rockies. There, that was kind of a surprise to me to see Colorado fall to Tampa Bay. But both of those are very, very strong teams. Baltimore falls to the L.A. Dodgers. We talk with Mark Timmons a lot on Hot Corner, and we talk about the Dodgers. I'm so sorry. I said Dodgers. I meant Angels. The Angels fell to let's start over. The Angels beat Baltimore. Not the Dodgers. The Dodgers fell to San Francisco. We talk a lot about the Dodgers over on the Hot Corner there. So it's Saturday morning. Hey, you know, I'm still getting my coffee, still getting things going, as well as Arizona. San Diego takes that game 7-6 there. We look over at the farm systems, and we look at the minor leagues. We cover a lot of again over on the Hot Corner on Thursday evenings, and we talk a little bit about a lot about the International League West just because of the Indianapolis Indians, and we follow a lot of the Indianapolis Indians right here on the Balance. So they always have they're having a great season, and when we look at them being the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates, having a great season out there, and so our hats off to the Indianapolis Indians as well. Now, I tell you what, if you live in the Indianapolis area and you've not been to Victory Field, well, shame on you, because it's probably one of the nicest minor league ballparks around, very fan friendly. And even if you're an over 21 type of fan, you've got Captain Morgan's Cove. You've got you're able to sit on the lawn with your kids. They let the kids run the bases. There's just so much to do out there with the Indianapolis Indians. And I tell you, they're having a great season today. They tonight 6:30 against the Lee Valley Iron Pigs. 6:35 p.m. Out at Lehigh Valley. Upcoming there, they got Toledo and Buffalo as well. So you look at some of these AAA affiliate teams, and there's a lot of good, but just for the fun of going out to a ballpark and taking your family out to a ballpark, there's nothing better than going to a minor league field like Victory Field, if you will. Well, guys, we want to save some information for the Hot Corner every Thursday right here on the Balance Radio Network. I am also your host for the Hot Corner. We spend 1 hour talking about baseball. That's right, baseball fans. We spend an hour dedicated to you, talking about what you want to talk about. Well, guys, if you want to give me a call, I've got about 30 minutes left on the show here. 917-889-8516 is my digits. That's 917-889-8516. We're going to take a break. We get back, we're going to start talking a little bit about the NBA, and hopefully we'll be talking with Mr. Gene Walker from right here on Indiana Talks as well, and talk with him a little bit about the NBA breakdown, what the Pacers are doing, and what we can look for in the NBA playoffs as well. And certainly we want to hear your thoughts, and give us a call here, and we'll be glad to talk with you about the NBA action, or Bear Baseball, or the Kentucky Derby, if you want to call in and give us your call, or you can tweet us at T-Balance or at Indy Pro Sports. But at T-Balance, get your tweet right to us, and any comments that you may have about the Kentucky Derby, the NBA, or MLB, or Beer Pong. I don't know. We'll talk with you about anything. 917-889-8516. We're going to take a break. We'll get back. We'll get into the NBA talk right here on The Balance on Saturday morning. Oh. the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
It's about getting there. The Indianapolis 500, May 26th.
Con los
home that could be none other than there today is the Kentucky Derby. We're talking about that here on The Balance. What is your pick and why do you pick it? And you know, a lot of people get into the Kentucky Derby that typically aren't horse racing fans, and maybe we follow into that category, but obviously it's a huge industry. And when you look at a horse that is able, well, they, in most cases, they're retired out to after the Kentucky Derby. A lot of times they'll run the top three races there. But a Kentucky Derby winning horse is, you now become an elite, if you will, and an elite horse, an elite horse owner, trainer, if you will. Now, we want to, you know, I'll tell you what, you want to look at some of when you look at a horse, you want to pick a horse. A lot of people have various different methods. You know, we do it for fun. But we made our official pick as well as Charming Kitten, and that's just for fun. But if you're the serious picker, maybe you want to look at some other, maybe you could talk with us about your experience on picking horses and how you do it. I mean, I guess just like any other thing, it is gambling. We understand that. So we certainly don't endorse abuse of gambling. But, you know, for the fun, leisure person, we do that. Well, let's talk a little bit about today's Kentucky Derby. There's been a lot of different picks out there, and a lot of the experts are picking. I tell you, one of the most popular horses out there right now is a horse called Revolutionary. So we'll see who that gets. And Orbit and Normandy Invasion. We heard talk a little bit about that in our preview. Although that was meant for fun, that is a pretty popular horse out there. Unlimited Budget as well. In the Oaks race, I apologize. And you got two races today. We've got the Oaks and the Derby. And Oaks is kind of like the pre-race or the pre-game race. So I apologize about that. But it's my lucky day, Revolutionary, Golden Sense. We talked about Veranzo. We talked about them. Falling Sky, Lines of Battle, Pure Fun. So Dreaming of Julia, those are all names that are being racing today, either in the Oaks or in the Derby. So we certainly want to talk with you guys about that. And, you know, do you have a tradition, a Kentucky Derby tradition? Yes, the mint julep is the official drink of the Kentucky Derby. Straw hats, Derby hats. You've got this is a huge deal. And you go to the Kentucky Derby, you go down there to Louisville, and you go to the Kentucky Derby. Well, one, you'll be lucky if you're even able to get in. It is the Indianapolis 500 of horse racing. But it's really cool to see all the women in their bonnets and it really has a lot of tradition and a lot of flair with the Kentucky Derby. We always have fun with it right here on The Balance. But certainly, remember, our official pick for the Kentucky Derby. Now, you know, win, place, or show, we're going to take credit for it with me and Kenny both. Charming Kitten coming in at 29-1. So that's where we're at with that. Well, guys, let's talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Pacers last night in action against the Hawks. We're able to close that out. Finally, I tell you what, Atlanta just has given the Pacers a rough way to go, if you will. It was good to see the Pacers move on. So the NBA playoffs are here, and we're going to see who's going to be the NBA championship. Now, I'll tell you what, we talk about the Pacers. The Pacers have kind of a rough road ahead of them, and it's not going to get any easier. We still got to get past the Heat and names like LeBron James. We got to get past. Let's not forget what they did to us last year. And LeBron James obviously being named the MVP again. So certainly right up there with some of the greats like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't see the. I guess maybe I'm not a LeBron hater. I just don't see. The love affair with LeBron James. He's a great basketball player. okay, we'll give him that. But at the same time, I don't know. I certainly wouldn't put him up there with names like Michael Jordan, and I definitely wouldn't put him up there with names like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And, you know, you look at Magic Johnson, you even look at Larry Bird. Maybe people would say that Larry Bird was a better player than LeBron James. But well, let's talk about some of the standout players in the playoffs. Stephen Curry with the Golden State Warriors. I'll tell you, there's a few arguments out there that Curry could have been named the 2013 NBA playoffs in the first round of the MVP. Obviously he's magnificent. He averages 24.3 points and 9.3 assists. During the Golden State Warriors upset the Denver Nuggets. He did so while shooting 46.8% from the field and 43.4% from beyond the arc, and a perfect 21 for 21 from the free throw line. I mean, in case you haven't heard, this Stephen Curry guy, he can shoot. He's there. And I tell you what, he began the playoffs by converting just 7 of 20. So there you go, Stephen Curry. And then we also look over there at Kevin Durant. Got to throw him in there. Oklahoma City Thunder. He's making some thunder down there. When you think about teams going, expansion teams and what have you, did anybody raise their hand and say, hey, I think a great sports city would be Oklahoma City? But hey, let's give credit where credit's due. They've obviously been able to put together some wins to get in the playoffs. Oklahoma City Thunder received devastating news after Game 2 of their first round series against the Rockets, as point guard Russell Westbrook was ruled out for the rest of the season. This was due to an injury that occurred. But I tell you what, hats off to Kevin Durant. He has responded better than expected. And since Westbrook went down, Durant is averaging 35.5 points, 9.3 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 1.5 steals. I'll tell you, in my opinion, the lights are shining brighter than ever on Durant, and he's performing better than ever before. So you know, hats off to him. Another key player that to look at here in the NBA playoffs. What about Brook Lopez? Huge guy. And with the Brooklyn Nets. Speaking of names, didn't they used to be called the New Jersey Nets? I don't know. The Brooklyn Nets, I can't get it to roll off my tongue. The Brooklyn Nets, I don't know. There's just another weird thing goes on in the NBA. But going back to point, Deron Williams has understandably had trouble developing a consistent offense rhythm against Kurt Herch, Joe Johnson. I tell you what, there's been a lot of drama. In spite of all that, Brook Lopez certainly been tremendous. He's been a dominant force on both ends of the floor, averaging 22.5 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.5 assists. I don't know. You might really have the argument that perhaps no performance was as powerful as his performance in Game 5, as Lopez dropped 28 points and 10 rebounds, 11 of 20, shooting to snap a three-ball Bulls winning streak. So I don't know. When you look at players, when you look at key players in the playoffs, this is where it comes together. This is where it happens. What about Zach Randolph over there in Memphis, the Grizzlies? It's his fifth postseason appearance, but a power forward he really is. The Clippers took the first two games of the first round series against the Grizzlies. During this, the Clippers, I know I digress, but the Clippers, playoffs, really? The Clippers, who would have ever thunked it that we would be talking about the L.A. Clippers in the playoffs, not the L.A. Lakers? Who would have ever thunked it? Well, I tell you what, going back to Zach Randolph, he averaged 13.0 points and 6 rebounds and 10 field goal attempts per game. So you're doing a fantastic job there with Memphis. And I tell you, great story he is. Very, very aggressive player. You got to give him credit for how well Memphis is doing. Absolutely. Nate Robinson of the Bulls. The Bulls! Remember the Bulls back with Michael Jordan? Certainly. No, Nate Robinson is no Michael Jordan. But you remember those days, don't you? Remember when Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller? Remember those days? Reggie Miller with the Pacers. Those were some good old times, weren't they? Back when the Pacers played at Market Square Arena. Do you guys remember Market Square Arena? That was, you talk about in the stat, we were talking earlier about Wrigley Field. Maybe not as special, but if you're local here in Indianapolis, Market Square Arena, absolutely a special place. And you know, a little bit of a trivia, if you don't know already, is it was the last live concert that Elvis ever did was there at Market Square Arena. True story. Well, Nate Robinson has provided, in my opinion, the NBA community as many heart-stopping moments as any player in recent memory. Going back to Michael Jordan. From off-balance shots that have no reason to go in, like Michael Jordan. I'm going with the comparison. And I know I'll get people to say, hey, man, Nate Robinson ain't nothing like Michael Jordan, man. Quit saying that. Not in the same category. I'm just saying he's doing a great job. And, he scored 23 fourth quarter points. Robinson just fell into 1 point. It would go Michael Jordan's record. The fourth quarter scoring in one game, Michael Jordan's record. Now, you do the connections. I'm not saying that he is Michael Jordan. Maybe not anywhere close, but there is that comparison. That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the Pacers. And joining us now is Mr. Gene Walker of Indiana Talks. Sir, how are you doing?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
Fantastic. You know, and I apologize. I had a brain fart. Your show is the Fourth Down. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's Fourth Down on IndianaTalks.com.
Fourth Downs on IndianaTalks.com. So it's good to have you back on the balance. It's been a few weeks since you've been able to join us. We're talking about the NBA playoffs, of course, the Pacers, and you know some of the I was just going through some of the key players that have really made a showing in the NBA playoffs so far. So when you look at the NBA playoffs and you look at it across the board, and obviously the Pacers were able to eliminate the Hawks, but their journey, their job is just beginning.
You're talking about the Pacers?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, I think last night as a whole was the events of last night and the events of these series have all been a little surprising to me in that I can't remember a time where that many series were down to 3-2 and not one went to a seventh game. And I can't remember, I mean, and as far as Indiana goes, just how badly they played in Atlanta over and over again. I mean, how do you lose, 13 straight games in a place where a team really isn't any better than the Hawks were? Very good for them to get it done last night and move on. And I don't, but who are you comparing to Jordan? That's where I came in on the conversation.
Oh, you came. I really wasn't making the comparison per se. I said that there is that comparison there, and that's Nate Robinson with Chicago Bulls. I'm just saying that he was one of my standout players that I would consider marquee playoff players in the 2013 playoffs. I said a lot of people could make that comparison between Nate Robinson and Michael Jordan. Obviously, he's not a Michael Jordan, but you look at what he's able to do and the way he shoots, and he either broke or tied Michael Jordan's fourth quarter scoring record here recently. So I'm just saying that there are 23 points in the fourth quarter, so there are comparisons. No, I wasn't saying that Nate Robinson was another Michael
Jordan. Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Nate, I saw Nate play out when I lived in Los Angeles. You know, they'd have the Pac-10 tournament down in Staples, and he played over there at Washington University. And he's a very dynamic player. I guess the biggest question about Nate Robinson is why has he been on so many teams? You know, that's what I want to figure out. Why has he been on, three teams now at least?
Well, this is his third postseason appearance, and I think he's been on three teams. I'll have to do the research on what other teams that he's been.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. I don't understand because I think he's a pretty dynamic player. Every time I see him play, it seems like he's just going all out. He makes things happen, especially when the team's down. I don't know how you end up on that many different teams with the kind of the value that he's bringing. So that's kind of a weird one. But. Indiana is going to have to probably answer the question they answered before, which is what is their true identity? And they almost found that in the Miami series last year. And this year they're almost in the rinse and repeat stage. And now they're going to have to face New York, I believe, at the series. It's the first time they've played them in quite a while, and the Nick Pacer thing was great for basketball for a little bit. And the Knicks have got plenty of fruit, too, because this is a team that could never punch the ticket against a team that only had a chance over the years once or twice to do it. So I like the Pacers' chance against the Knicks. The Knicks don't blow me away. I had them beating Boston. But that's only because Rajon Rondo and Ray Allen weren't going to be in uniform for that team for playoff time. That's the only reason. And it had nothing to do with anything else because even though they were older, I think if Rondo is in that series, it goes 7, probably Boston wins. I'm not blown away by New York. I don't know how they ended up the second seed, and I like Indiana's chances big time in that series.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of reasons why we would say that the Pacers would win. But New York, I tell you what, they beat Boston. In my opinion, Boston had a pretty good season. And, the Knicks, really, they love to spread the floor with really, if you look at it, they have a small lineup that kind of creates some mismatches here and there. And they are hitting open shots. And You know, Indiana may struggle to keep up pace. Now, I agree with you. I think the Pacers will advance. But then we look again. It's going to be the Heat and the Pacers again. I don't see that they can get past the Heat. But I tell you, Indiana could definitely win this series with the Knicks because they do drag games out and force teams to play at their pace. If they can force the Knicks to play at their pace, you know, going back to there's struggles that they have in Atlanta, it baffles me. It's one of those teams that, you know, there's just places where teams have hard times playing. We have a hard time playing in Atlanta. Now, why that is, I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, we look at guys like Hibbert, West, and Tyler Hansbrough. Now, they'll control the paint, Gene, against the smaller Knicks. And eventually, I think they'll have to let's hope they play some better games than they did in Atlanta. If not, then I guarantee you the Knicks will dominate that. And I don't know. I just think we have some exceptional three-point shooters with the Pacers.
You know, I just – so all I've looked for in the New York Knicks is just consistency. And what I find in them is that they just have big swings. Even for a team that ended up as high a seed as they did, you can just see in the quality of basketball they're playing, they just go from – they go from stretches to stretches where you look at them and go, man, they really look good. They really look like they've found exactly what they're looking for and wants them to do. And then there's just other times where they're just kind of out there and kind of free-falling it a little bit. And it's not what you want to see out of a team that you're putting any real stock into to move on. Indiana knows where their guys are. All the people that you mentioned before for Indiana know exactly what they do for Indiana and know what their role is on that team, and they consistently seem to come out and do about that. It's not fancy, and sometimes it looks a little bit less than impressive. I just don't see it, and I think the Pacers are going to no problem with the Knicks. That I don't say, but they'll win.
So we look at the possibility of another matchup, the Heat, the Pacers. Is there any way the Pacers can beat the Heat?
I don't know if there's any way anybody can beat the Heat now. I think when the guy over in Oklahoma City that dresses like Urkel, what's his name, Westbrook, when he went down, I think that kind of ended that talk. You could make an argument that San Antonio is so fundamentally sound that maybe in a series with the Heat, they would be able to kind of keep the tempo more to their liking, play the half-court game, push it sparingly. That argument could be made, I suppose. San Antonio obviously not telling the truth when it came to Ginobili's health. He's obviously fine. I don't know that he – I just think that as long as Ginobili's in there off and on to spell whoever, San Antonio might actually be the team that could probably give the Heat some kind of a fit. But other than that – you know, I will say this, though. The funniest thing is, as the Bulls play today, is that right? What time?
The Bulls and the Nets. And I tell you, that's going to be a great game, and we could break that down here in just a moment if you like. But, yeah, the Bulls play at 6:30 tonight, Bulls and Nets.
The Bulls are one team that has given the Heat some fits in the regular season. So you might be looking at that, too, but they're going to have to get past the Nets. But I would think that maybe the Bulls might be a team that could take some games off the Heat in a series. But other than that, LeBron, from the time he came in from high school, the comment I made was that this was a true man-child. Garnett had that kind of thing going on, too, and he's just phenomenal. 4 MVPs in 5 years. First guy since Russell would do that. I don't see anybody beating the Heat, but the Bulls give him fits, and I think San Antonio might. If they play
Well, I'll tell you what, this if the Nets manage it, I'll tell you what, this is the biggest game ever to happen in Brooklyn. I still can't get that to roll off my tongue, but, you know, game seven. I mean, it's really, if you think about this, this is what these players as kids, they dream of. You know, it's like being in the bottom of the ninth, if you're the seventh game of the World Series in the bottom of the ninth. That's where this is at for the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, and if they can pull this off, if they could beat the Bulls at home in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, you talk about momentum. Now, then there's some other variables in teams that in second rounds that they'll face, but if the Nets can beat the Bulls, It to me, that's probably going to be one of the best NBA stories of the week.
Well, that, and also the fact that now people are going to have to come back around to the realization, and they're going to have to do this probably whether or not the Nets win this game or not, which is immaterial in one sense, that P.J. Carlissimo has reestablished himself as the coach that a lot of us who've watched basketball real closely know him to be. He is fantastic. He is just phenomenal. And the NBA gets into these grooves of, well, these guys are the in-between coaches, and these guys are the ones that can babysit them through the rest of the time, and these guys are the substitutors, and this is the old boy network, and we're going to put this person with that person, and hell, if you did a good job, then, you know, we'll say thanks, but we're moving on. I got to tell you, the Russian has got to look at P.J. Carlissimo for an extension, I think, at this point. This guy came into the season a month in. He didn't even start with them. Brand-new team, and here they are on the verge of going to another round. The Nets, who basically have had really nothing going on since Byron Scott was there with kids for 1 year, in which they were balanced when they got to the finals. I'm liking what PJ did. I really do. I think he showed up big time. And I think they need to give him an extension, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wish we had more time to get into that conversation. We've only got a couple minutes left. Talking about the NBA playoffs with Gene Walker. Gene, talk with us a little bit about what's going on your show this week.
Well, it was kind of cool. You know, yesterday we go on from 11 to 1, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I had Bernard Hopkins on the show. B-Hop was talking about the Mayweather fight coming up this weekend that him and Oscar are putting on. And it was a good interview. And I think you can get on the internet. I think it's on there up where you can actually play it if you want. This next week, you know, we're going to be just we're diving into baseball a little bit. We go off on all the different subjects. My thing yesterday was I really started talking about Rick Pitino. And I really started getting into the lineage of him, and he's probably the most fascinating guy in all of sports right now to me because of the great success he's had at Louisville. But, you know, Rick is just – I think he reminds me of the Gordon Gekko of college basketball in a way. You know, he seems to be untouchable. This is a guy that had sex behind his wife's back with a woman in a public spot and then blamed the media for covering it because they didn't consider his wife's feelings in it all. He's involved with Goldman Sachs, even so far as to getting Goldman Sachs to put money into Louisville. Goldman Sachs, as you well know, is partly to blame for the collapse of our economy, and they
sure.
make money
mm-hmm.
off of their endeavors. So he's like a movie figure to me at this point. I just don't understand how a guy like that, and now he's involved in the Kentucky Derby,
sure.
in which at some point when his horse doesn't win, they'll probably send that horse off to slaughter for a couple hundred bucks in beer money. I mean, he is absolutely I can't get my head around him, and yet when I pick him to go to the finals, they do. You know what I mean? Like in basketball, and he makes me look smart in that sense. So I've really been trying to get my head around all that is Rick Pitino and put it into one segment. It was pretty difficult to do.
Well, real quickly, we're down to our last final seconds here. Obviously, Golden Sense in the Kentucky Derby today. Who's your Kentucky Derby pick?
I'm not picking any one of them. I don't like the sport, and I wish it was abolished.
Okay. We'll save that for another day. Mr. Gene Walker, thanks for joining us, sir. And hopefully we'll catch you over on the hot corner or something, talk a little baseball with you.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Gene Walker, always good to talk with him. Always love his opinions, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. Kentucky Derby picks. Get them in. Tweet them out to us, guys. We're going to see you guys next week. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.